In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 35, 1129, 1937, and this is the second paragraph. So he says, Jesus says, do you think that my will has not taken into account all that you have suffered? Now, this is important. Everything that we've gone through in our life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, everything that we've gone through. Jesus says, do you think that my divine will has not taken into account all that you have suffered? And it says, not at all. My divine will preserves within its womb of light all of your pains, small and great, your distressed and sorrowful sighs, your privations. Jesus, again, predestined us to live at this time. And what we're going to see when we get to heaven is everything that we've gone through, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God used for his glory. And as Jesus tells Louisa, your miseries become your victories. Your miserable human will is going to become your victory. When it's surrendered to God, everything changes. Everything changes. And that's why he says, even more, it has used them, the sufferings, as material and able to conceive, deliver, and raise its life in each pain of yours was a growth. And it had to nourish them with its divine sanctity, filling your sufferings with the ardor of God's love, embellishing your sufferings with unreachable beauty. I remember in school, there was a child who was scarred up pretty good, and everybody would like, stay away from. And the sister said to us about scarring, he says, in life we are scarred, but in heaven, every one of our scars will be a glorified light that everyone will see that we have gone through. Now think about the scars of Jesus' hands and his feet, and by his stripes we were healed, the crown of thorns, unreachable beauty. And most of us are doom and gloomers. Oh, why did I have to go through this? What's wrong? You know, no. We are untamed. That's our human will, untamed. And until we tame our human will, by how? Surrendering it to God, putting it at the throne of God, the foot of the throne of God, as Our Lady taught Louisa. Once we begin to live this life, our worries, our fears, our anxieties, our complaints, our negativities, our sins, as Jesus says, receive such sanctity, our material becomes the suffering becomes victories for Christ. My daughter, how much you must thank me for all that I have disposed for you, for all that I have made you suffer, because everything has served to form my life in you for the triumph of my most holy divine will. Suffering is to be like God, and we are untamed. And it's taking a lot for God to tame us. And we're still not tamed. We still go to confession each week. We haven't been freed from our wild nature, the human will. We have to begin to live this new and abundant life of living in the divine will. So he's telling us, he says, do you think that my holy divine will has not taken into account all that you have suffered? My will preserves within its womb of light all of your pains, all of your sufferings. And everything has served to form my life in you and for the triumph of my most holy divine will. We're going to thank God for everything. because all of us were basically on the edge of the abyss, lost internally. God wants us to recognize the suffering. He uses suffering for our benefit. Psalm 35, 3, 6, 1938. When the creature abandoned herself, see, this abandonment is so important. When the soul abandoned herself in our most holy divine will, we can make in her the greatest prodigies, the most surprising graces, because there is only our divine will in receiving and disposing what we want to give to the soul. So this abandonment in the divine will, which we do every morning when we do our prevenient act, we can make in us his greatest prodigies, surprising graces. Because we, Jesus says, the triune God, want to give to the creature so that the creature can receive. So the way this is done is by abandoning everything to live in the divine will. And again, the fullness is not here. We strive for it. But when that great day comes, the whole world is going to shake with joy. Through the soul, we feel more moved to make mercy towards everyone, past, present, and future. We have our own intermediary between heaven and earth, who with her abandonment makes us pour graces, makes us love all humanity with new love. So again, the more that we surrender to God in the divine will, the more the love of God is given to everyone and everything. Why? The kingdom is coming. So therefore, the more you are abandoned in our most holy divine will, the more magnanimous we, triune God, shall be toward you and toward all of humanity. And everyone, at least more disposed, will find new strength, new light, new guidance. A new beginning is coming. And he's asking us, would you be willing to help the world embrace this kingdom? Psalm 35, 3, 12, 1938. The creature disappears inside our divine sea, this divine ocean. Like a little drop of water, what remains is our prayer. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That wants to invest everything with its divine power and obtain what we, triune God, ask of ourselves. It is in our own prayer. It is our own prayer. We can't do without answering it. So what we see is Jesus says the prayer that he taught the apostles, he's been praying for with every person who's ever prayed it. It's God's prayer. It's God's own prayer. And he says, we can't do without answering it. He has to answer his own prayer. Then once we have prayed, we set ourselves on the way. We go through all nations, through each heart, to see if we find even a small disposition that they want to live in our most holy divine will. These are people of goodwill. So we take that little disposition in our creative hands. We purify it. We sanctify it. We embellish it. And we place inside of it the first act of our divine will. And then we wait to be able to place the second act of our divine will. And then the third act of our divine will, which is the life of our fiat, and so forth. Therefore, all that the creature does in our divine will is truly us doing it in the soul. I remember people would say to me, oh, I got this prayer and I prayed it and it happened. I said, that was God's prayer. All prayer is of God. And why we pray it, especially out loud, is so that God hears that we hear what he's saying to us. You know, I should really pray. All of a sudden this idea will come. We should pray for that person. Lord, bless that person. Jesus says, good. I've helped you pray my prayer. You've said it out loud. You've echoed what I told you to pray. It's all about God. Well, I prayed my rosary 10 times today. Well, if you're with God, he's showing you how to do this. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's directing you. We are nothing. He is everything. We can do nothing. We are nothing. And yet he says, we're dust. Remember, man, that thou art dust and thus thou shalt return. We're dust. And yet he says, I want you to share in my divinity 536, 519, 1938. Whoever shall read these writings. Now this is again. This is from Jesus. He's telling us what he asked Louisa to put down on paper. Whoever reads these writings with the intention of finding the truth shall feel my flames of my sacred heart, and all transformed in love shall love me more. You want to love Jesus more? Read the writings, intending on finding the truth, and then feel the sacred heart of Jesus transforming you in love. And you are going to love Jesus and Mary more than ever before. That's why I love the saints, but we hear the saints describe their love for Jesus and Mary with their words. What Jesus put on paper was Jesus's words. What Louisa put on paper was Jesus's words, were Mary's words. Whoever shall read them to split hairs, to find doubts, shall remain blinded and confused. Archbishop Picheri, one of the last letters that he wrote, he says, those that are saying that there's heresies in my writings, the writings of Louisa, it must stop. There are no heresies in Louisa's writings. And then he says this. He says, you're hurting the cause by saying there is heresies in Louisa's writings. Corrado knows who's doing what and what's doing who. Corrado knows very, very clearly. And what we have to do is we have to understand the divine will is of Jesus. There's no heresies in these writings. There's none. Whoever reads these writings with the intention of finding truth shall feel the flames of my sacred heart and be all transformed in love and shall love me more. But whoever tries to read them to split hairs and find doubts will remain blinded and confused by my light and my love, Jesus says. My children, the goodness of my truths produces two opposite effects. For those who are disposed, it is light giving sight to their intelligence. It is life of sanctity containing in my truths. For those who are not disposed, it is blindness that deprives them of the good contained in my truths. That's why Archbishop Picheri wrote that letter. There's nothing heretical in Louisa's writings. Everything I did, Jesus said, at the beginning of your state, Louisa, was necessary. It had to serve as the basis, the decency, the decorum, the preparation, the sanctity, and disposition to the great truth that I, Jesus, was going to manifest to you, Louisa, about my divine will. Everything I did at the beginning of your state was necessary. It's the same thing with us. It was necessary for us. He's got plans, and these plans are to us diving into this infinite ocean of love, light, and life. These truths that Jesus manifested to Louisa, making us interested in the writings. He says, therefore, I shall be more interested in the writings than you, because they are mine. Just as one truth about my fiat is life that I want to give to humanity, you can understand this form from all that you have suffered and from the graces that I have given to you, Louisa, to manifest to you, Louisa, my truths on my most holy divine will. So be calm and let us love each other. This is the most beautiful thing. It's to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, looking at him, falling in love with him. We see him. We see God when we look in the monstrance. My daughter, he says, let's not break our love because it costs much to both of us. You in keeping your life sacrificed at my disposal and to me in sacrificing myself for you. So here we see the three that sacrificed the most, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. It's going to be astonishing to recognize who Louisa is. Who is this Louisa Picaretta that Jesus says this? keeping your life sacrificed at my disposal. And for me, sacrificing myself for you, Louisa. With all Jesus is talking, Louisa says, I still couldn't feel completely calm. And he was speaking. Peace came to me. But afterwards, I was thinking about what had happened to me during these few days, the last few days, that it's not necessary to say here. She was being rejected by the individuals in the church. And I started to feel trouble again because the individuals in the church were saying that what she's talking about is heresy. Jesus says, no, it's not. You can't find heresy in what I taught you, Louisa. So I started to feel troubled again. For about 2 days after this, my sweet Jesus remained silent. And because of this, I felt completely exhausted, completely weak. Jesus's words are life, light, love. And she says, when I couldn't hear him, she says, I felt exhausted, extremely weak. And my beloved Jesus, having compassion for me, all goodness, came and told me, poor daughter of mine, you haven't eaten. This is why you have no strength. It's 2 days since you have taken any food because you were not at peace. So I couldn't feed you with my truth. So what was she eating? She was eating the first bread, the bread of the divine. Well, people say this, oh, Louisa was eating. Jesus even says that in the scripture. Well, you don't understand. I couldn't feed you with my truths. My truths are food for the soul, but give also strength to the body. I remember once Louisa said to Jesus, my spiritual director stopped reading the volumes and died. Would he still be alive if he was reading? And she said, yes, he would be. Because it's the food that we do not know of. Yes, that pertains to the Blessed Sacrament, but that's to get us ready for the perennial feast of the first bread, the bread of the divine will. My truths are food for the soul. See how some people can get confused? Well, she was eating. She was eating. Jesus said she had to eat. Well, she wasn't listening to him. See, when we read, we're hearing Jesus. He's feeding us. It says, in part, keep your mouth wide open like a little bird waiting to be fed. He says, my children don't keep their mouths wide open. They don't want to be fed by me, Jesus says. Being so troubled, you wouldn't have understood me. Neither would you have been disposed to take such delicious food of the truths of the divine will. So he says, you must know that peace is the door through which truth enters. The first kiss, the initiation of the creatures disposed to listen, to let it speak to them. So the first thing that we have to be is peaceful. You have to be at peace. Be at peace. Be at peace. This is what Jesus said when he walked through the door after resurrecting from the dead. Peace be with you. Be at peace. Then truth can enter in. My first kiss is the invitation of the creatures who are disposed to listen, to let Jesus speak. As we read, as we study, you become peaceful, joyful, and happy. You are really tasting heaven. Therefore, if you want me to give you a lot of food, go back to your state of peace. Be peaceful. If you're agitated, spend time from the Blessed Sacrament to become peaceful again. Furthermore, during these days, you have been so troubled that heaven and angels and saints have been trembling over you. They felt the bad air that you did not belong to them coming from you. Bad air is not being peaceful. So they all prayed, all the angels and saints, all of heaven prayed for you, Louisa, to find your peace again. And it's the same thing with us. If you are not peaceful, you can't be joyful and happy. You can't have heaven. Heaven is joy. Heaven is peace. Heaven is happiness. Volume 36, 8, 12, 9, 38. An act of my divine will is almost incredible. Lord has a great way of putting these things. An act of my divine will is almost incredible. These acts shall form the new day. The human generation shall feel as though they are being renewed through the divine will. When you pray your rounds of creation, when you pray your rounds of redemption, it's a new act that form a new day. He says, and human generations feel as though renewed and through them rejuvenated in good, in God. And they shall form the disposition to dispose all human generations to receive their life, to let it reign in them on earth as it is in heaven. These acts of the creatures done in my most holy divine will shall be the endowment, the potent preparation, the most effective means to obtain a good so great. They're talking about marriage again. These acts of the creature done in my divine will are the endowment. They're endowed. This is the preparation. This is the means to obtain a good so great. Doing your acts and your rounds in the divine will, which we say every morning with a prevening act. Volume 36, 8:15, 1938. Oh, prodigy of our divine will. Only you can do such prodigies as to make us, Triune God, loved and glorified as we, Triune God, deserve and want, to the extent of creating many of our lives in Our Lady, who lets you dominate. So what we see, this is why, think of every apparition of Our Lady. She's dressed in a new gown. Why? It's to show us the extent of creating many of God's lives in this newborn, the firstborn, Our Lady. Luisa is the firstborn born of original sin. Our Lady was born immaculate. This is why she, our Mary, can give God to everyone, because Our Lady possesses God. Even more, when she sees a creature disposed to receive our most holy divine will without losing one of our divine lives, Our Lady has the virtue of reproducing from within these divine lives that she possesses, given to the soul, and yet another of our divine lives to give to whomever Our Lady wants. She is, when she appeared to Bruno in 1947, she says, I am the daughter of the Father. I am the mother of the Son. I am the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. We see God when we look at Mary. The God that we cannot see is here. That's why I love Our Lady of America, with Our Lady, the divine indwelling. That's what's coming for all of us. This divine indwelling that's coming to us, this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II says is very close. And God is trying to find souls who are humble enough to receive it. Not proud enough to receive it, but humble enough to receive it. Volume 36, 11/13, 1938. When my divine will sees a soul being disposed, it first embalms that soul, that human will of hers, and her pains with an air of peace. And then it forms its throne in the heart of the soul. Therefore, the one who lives in my divine will possesses a divine strength that is never extinguished, a divine love that does not love anybody, but truly loves everyone in God. That's the life of a priest. It's, you know, somebody just came up to me, oh, priests should be married. I said, I don't think so, because it's 100% of all Protestant ministers who are looking for a new job outside of being a pastor of a parish are divorced. 100%. It's not fair to a family. It's not fair to a wife or children to be married. So again, in the divine will, you possess a strength that is never extinguished, a love that does not love anybody, but is truly in love with everyone in God. How many sacrifices the soul exposes herself to everyone. This is Luisa. This is Jesus, Mary, and Luisa. For each one in particular, my daughter, that soul is a true martyr and a victim of everyone. And that should be a priest as well. A true martyr and victim for everyone. And that's why the gift is given to the priest first. It's very, very clear. And read the three appeals. To you, Holy Father, you must be the first to fulfill this. And then to the priest, you must give this food, feed the sheep, Let them, the food that you're feeding them is stale and hard to digest. Give them the divine will and watch how they will feed out of your hand, because it's Jesus, a true martyr, a true victim of all. Volume 36, 11, 26, 19, 38. My blessed daughter, my divine will wants to give, but it wants to find the soul disposed. That's what he's looking for in us. It is like the earth for the farmer. No matter how many seeds the farmer possesses, if there is no earth on which he could throw the seeds, and if the earth had a mind and was not disposed to receive the farmer's seeds, the poor farmer would feel as though the seeds meant to enrich the earth were thrown back in his face and in his eyes. Such is my most holy divine will. My most holy divine will wants to give, but if it doesn't find a soul disposed, it cannot find the place for its gifts. With great pain, it would feel as if they were being thrown back into his face. So if it wants to talk to the soul, and that's what happens when we read the book of heaven, it would find her deaf if we're not reading the book. Therefore, dispositions prepares the souls, opening divine doors and providing the sense of hearing. But if the soul first hears what my divine will wants to give, she is placed in communication so that she may love it and long for it, that which is she is about to receive. And that's what happens as you're reading the book of heaven. You're anticipating things not even imaginable yet. But if she is not disposed, we, Triune God, do not give anything, because we, Triune God, do not find to expose, we do not want to expose our gifts to uselessness. On the other hand, dispositions is like the earth that surrenders to the farmer, surrenders to anything he wants, letting the farmer work, hoe, and plow to safely cover the seeds with which he fills it in the same way. If our divine being, our supreme being, finds the disposition, we do our work. We, Triune God, prepare the soul. We, Triune God, participate in the soul. With our creative hands, we, Triune God, prepare the place for our gifts and to form our most beautiful works. But if the soul is not disposed, with all our divine power, we can do nothing, because her interior is cluttered up with stones, thorns, wicked passions. Since she is not disposed, she does not allow us, Triune God, to take them out. How many sanctities go up in smoke for a lack of disposition? Let's look at this Lent. What did you promise in the beginning of Lent? Now that we're at the end of Lent, how many sanctities go up in smoke for a lack of disposition? Further, if she's not disposed, she does not adapt herself to living in our divine will. On the contrary, it seems that it is just not for her. Its sanctity floors her. Its purity makes her feel ashamed. Its light blinds her. But if she is disposed, that soul will fling herself into its arms. That soul will let us do whatever we want with her. And she even remains there like a tiny little baby receiving our works with so much love as to feel enraptured. See, Jesus is going to take care of everything. Jesus is going to take care of everything. All he needs us to do is to cooperate. So are we disposed? Are we reading? Are we studying? Are we putting this into practice? That's what Jesus is. He's longing for this. He needs us to cooperate. He needs us to begin to live this abundant life of peace, joy, and happiness, this abundant life of Jesus and Mary through Louisa, the newborn. Again, we're not talking about being good and holy and saintly. That was the lives of the saints, volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a saint, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. What Jesus is teaching us is volume 11 through 19, which he said, I've talked to no one about but you. You, Louisa, are the only one that I've talked to this about. If this is true, and I believe it's true, how can a person who didn't read the writings be living in the divine will? I mean, if Jesus says to Louisa, this is how you will learn how and why the kingdom is going to come upon earth as it is in heaven, oh, that saint lived in the divine will. Did they read Louisa? No, they didn't have time, but they liked Louisa. There's a big difference between liking Louisa and studying the words that Jesus spoke to Louisa, the words that Mary spoke to Louisa. Again, see, Annibal de Francia read volume 1 through volume 19, and his whole life was to possess this. So he died living in the divine will. He never read 20 through 36. Why? And that's to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. It wasn't for him. It's for us. The more that you read, the more that you study, the more that you put this into practice, the happier you're going to be, because Jesus and Mary are doing this in you through Louisa. This is a new beginning, a new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied at the canonization of St. Annibal de Francia, echoing St. Annibal de Francia's words that we're now going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. This is a new beginning for all of humanity. And our God has given us, volume 20 through volume 36 was never given to the world until 1996. And then in English, we got it in 2005. And since then, there's been revisions. And again, we got it from the person who is from Apulia. She knew the dialect. She studied in the United States at Harvard. She was fluent in English and in Italian. And what the Archbishop's Vicar General said to us when we were at AWTN, these are the best translations out there. I know people are fighting over translations, but I know that every word that is translated, see that in Italian, they say the translator is the traitor. Why would the translator be the traitor? Because you look in a dictionary, there's certain phrases that you can pick. And if you're using a dictionary, that's what most people do. I guess the first translations were like that. But when you're going through the translation, it's what you're comfortable with. It might not be exactly what Luis is saying. It's close, but it's not accurate. So if you know the Puglian dialect, which very few people do know, you'll be really happy to know that everything that we have at this point, even when the Vatican brings out through Corrado the official translations, we're going to also know exactly in the Puglian dialect what Jesus said. And that's going to be good for us. Because Jesus says, when these books come out, they'll change the face of the earth. The face of the earth is changing. Everything is changing. A new beginning is happening for all of humanity. Everybody's saying doom and gloom. Everybody's, no, there's nothing to worry about. The kingdom is coming. Everything has to be in order. God is in charge. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our friend. He's everything. There's nothing to be afraid of. When Jesus says, he says, the miracles that you have received is because of your faith. In whom? In him. And so what does he say? The final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. It's a new beginning for everyone. And our Lord is offering this to us. It's really a delight that God has given us to. So he says, my daughter, there's a great difference between the blessed in heaven and the traveling soul on earth. The traveling soul. It's good to hear Jesus talk about us. You know, we're traveling. It's the blessed in heaven. They have accomplished everything that they had to do on earth. The traveling soul is where we are. We're pilgrim souls. We are, the church militant. We're ready to fight to the death. And the thing that we're fighting for is the love of God. And it's not a war of blood. It's a war of love. Great things are right around the corner. God wins. So the blessed have nothing to add since their life, their acts, and their human will remain fixed within us, triune God, there in heaven. They have nothing more to add. Now we, on the other hand, that's why Jesus keeps on telling Louisa, don't lose a moment. Don't lose a moment. Our acts and our rounds. Don't lose an eye blink. Don't lose a step. Call on the divine will. This is where we started in the beginning. Call on the divine will continuously throughout the day. Come, divine will, drive in my driving. Come, divine will, wash my dishes as I'm washing the dishes. Come, divine will, gaze in my gazing. Come, everything that you want the divine will to reign. This is the thing that's so beautiful. So the blessed have nothing to add since their life, their acts, and their human will remain fixed within the triune God. They say, we have accomplished our day. We cannot do anything more. At the most, we can give new joys and new love. But the pilgrim soul, the traveling soul, the pilgrim soul, has not yet completed her day. That's us. We still got days, hopefully months, years to do our acts and pray our rounds of creation, pray our rounds of redemption. We have not yet completed our day. If the soul wants to live in our divine will, she can make prodigies of grace and light for the whole world and prodigies of love for her creator. These unheard of prodigies are coming. Again, that's why praying the rounds are so, I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you. In the leaves on the tree, in the blades of grass, and the birds chirping, in the oceans roaring, in the clouds, in the thunder storming. It's like, I want to give these prodigies of love, of grace, of light for the whole world. Prodigies of love for my creator, my God, my Father. Therefore, all our attention, Jesus says, the triune God's attention, is on the traveling soul. All our attention is on the pilgrim soul, because the pilgrim soul, the traveling soul, is still at work, still in process, and it is not yet finished. We've got a lot to do. We've got a lot to do. We want to, the kingdom's coming. We want to make sure that everything that we think, say, and do is to give glory to God, praise to God, love to God. If the soul is disposed, we can do works never done before. Again, God's going to teach you things that are going to astonish you in the book of heaven. You will be able to do works never done before. They are so beautiful that will astonish both heaven and earth. So Jesus says, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The pain is great when we find the traveling soul not disposed to letting us, triune God, perform our most beautiful works. So at least Jesus, do your most beautiful works. Do works never before done in me, with me, through me, for me. I am totally yours. I am completely yours. Let it be done as you say. He says, our pain is great when we find a traveling soul not disposed to letting us perform our most beautiful works. How many of our works have been started and not finished? With others shattering at their peak moment. Again, how many have climbed up the mountain and said, this is too tough for me, and quit? Only in our divine will, and for those who live in the divine will, can we, triune God, accomplish our works with their unreachable beauty. And since our will provides an adaptable material to do anything we want, we can do it in that soul. You're going to do it, Lord. I can't do anything. I mean, that's the one thing I know. I can nothing. But I know that God can do everything. And, you know, striving to be a saint, never made it. Some person once said to me, I was saying something, and they said, "Father, we're not as holy as you." I said, "I'm not holy." And they went, "I know." And I went, "Son of a gun." It was a trap. But we're not holy. God alone is holy. God alone is good. And what we want is we want to enter into this new and divine way of holiness. He says, we can do anything outside of the divine will. We cannot find sufficient light, nor a raising of love or divine materials. We are forced to fold our arms because we just can't move forward with any of those who don't want to live in our most holy divine will. Family and friends, neighbors, coworkers, parishioners, Jesus says, will you do it for them? They can't at this point. Their human will is so strong, they can't do this. Would you do it for them? And when we say, yes, Lord, he goes, good, be peaceful. Do everything, prepare everything for everyone and for everything. And again, if you see something that's not good, you say basically, I'm sorry for this. I'm going to repair this and all sins, past, present, and future. And Jesus says, by the end, the divine will, when the divine will reigns, it's going to look as if Adam never sinned. Everything's going to be repaired. How can that be? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics and kindle us the fire of your love, which is divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. Then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. God's going to do it. He's looking for souls that can say, yes, let it be done as you say. Docility, surrender. Our ladies, I am the slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done as you say. I am nothing. God is everything. I want his will to reign, not mine. Furthermore, for the soul on her journey, see, now here's another one, journey. It's the soul on the journey. It's the traveling soul. It's the pilgrim soul. I love the way God just expounds this. So the soul on her journey, we, triune God, circulate the coin of merit. Our divine image is coined on each one of her acts, animated by our most holy divine will. Come, divine will, breathe in my breathing. Our image is coined on each of your acts. Beat in my heart beating. Our image is coined on each of your acts, animated by our most holy divine will. These coins, Jesus says, have infinite value. So whenever the soul wants, whether she has the money to pay me for anything she wants, and it's what do we want? May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God says, what are you going to pay for it? All the acts and the rounds that I've done, even though there are very few. God goes, my image is on it. I'm going to take care of it. Our prayers are going to be answered. Jesus said, pray, believe that you have received it and it is yours. I don't have to see the result. I know they're going to be answered. I don't have to see the result. I know they're going to be answered. Therefore, our concerns and our interest is for the souls on their journey, because this is the time for conquest. The war is being won. While there are no conquests in heaven, but only joy and happiness, we are winning on earth. How? By the book of heaven. God has given us the book of heaven. Read it, study it, put it into practice. Promise Jesus that you'll read a minimum half hour a day. And then that's between you and him. You know, Jesus has got great plans, and we're in them if we can say yes to what God wants. So I'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, that all the little children, the holy divine will be healed, all their families, all their friends, all their relatives, all their loved ones be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.